Hi guys, Salam Nerds here, and we want to talk to you guys about the floods in Pakistan that have damaged almost a million homes and wiped out entire villages. The flooding in Pakistan is due to climate change. The melting glaciers and torrential rain have caused the death tolls to be in the thousands, with more than 33 million people displaced. One third of Pakistan is underwater. This is more than a national emergency, this is a humanitarian catastrophe. This is because the CO2 emissions produced by countries like the UK, the US, Russia, and France. Pakistan does not have the infrastructure to withstand this devastation. Even though Pakistan is one of the lowest producers of GHG at 1%, it is one of the top 5 worst affected by climate change. We here at Salam Nurse are sending direct links to you guys to Islamic Relief so you can donate. Please donate generously.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go! Woo!
Our first? My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Gene, a.k.a. Watson Geek, and I'm here with my boy, Jazz. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jath, aka Chocolate Hummus.
hold on, let's see if we can do this right. What the fuck did you just say?
You just insulted my family.
Whole culture.
You insulted my grandmother. My ancestors.
Well, welcome everybody to our 76th episode of Salam Nerds. And we are here with a very special guest because we are covering a very special show. You guys might have heard of a little show called Mo on Netflix.
Very little.
But it's making a lot of headway, and it's really, really exciting. And we're like, you know what? If we're going to talk about this show, we got to have the right people in the room to talk about this show. We got to make sure that the person sitting in this seat is someone who this show reflects, someone who is from Houston, someone who is Palestinian. And, you know, that's exactly what we gave you. So shout out to our guest, Dina. Dina, welcome.
Hey, an A-leafer. I'm an A-leafer. Just got to throw that out there.
What? The squat.
Yeah.
Southwest A-Leaf, Texas. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that stuff means, but yes, let's go.
Once you get to Houston, I'll tell you all about it, okay?
A-Leaf, is that like a plant like aloe vera?
A-Leaf is the neighborhood.
The neighborhood.
We all grew up.
The bulk of the show was shot there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you got to know, B? I'm the himbo of the show, so I'm kind of dumb. I may ask dumb questions, but yes, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I've been raving about Mo's show before, like once I saw the trailer. I'm a podcast producer myself, and okay. I work for CityCast Houston. I'm the lead producer over there, so we cover all things H-Town, and one of the things we cover is A-Leaf. I'm Palestinian. I was born and raised in Houston, grew up in A-Leaf. That's my neighborhood. And yeah, that's me.
This is basically your life. This show is your life.
This is my life.
That's how I felt as a Pakistani from New Jersey watching Miss Marvel. So
recognize all the locations and you're like, oh, hey, I've been here. Oh, hey, I used to hang out here. That's like how we felt when we saw like Funplex and whatnot. We're like, oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
That's so funny. So, okay. So what we're going to do, guys, first half of the show, we're just going to review the show, talk about it with no spoilers. And then the second half of the show, you can leave, but we will be spoiling the entire season. The entire season. So be warned. Don't get mad in the comments and be like, you ruined this for me. No, I told you. All right. So Dina, tell us your initial thoughts of the show before you started watching it. What did you think was going to happen when the show was announced?
Honestly, like I was so excited seeing just the representation. We've never had a show that's on any mainstream platform with the main character being a Palestinian, you know, from Houston, from Alief, and shot in Houston. If you look at all the other shows and how they're made, oftentimes they use a set or something like that. But this spotlighted not just our city, but my community. And that to me was just incredible. I had very high hopes. I was really excited going into this because Mo got his start in Houston. Like he, like some backstory, my dad owns a flag shop in Houston and he actually used to come in back when I was a kid and buy a bunch of flags and always leave telling a joke. He can't get out of our shop without telling a joke. And he was funny. He was awesome. And I was like, this guy's got to make it someday. And he did. And he did. And that's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love seeing that. Love seeing people come from humble beginnings and make it. And some people just have it, right? You just see them and you're like, this person has it. They're going to make it. And it's really cool. I've seen some of his stand-up. It's very funny. It's very funny. So it's really awesome to see him get this show.
He actually has a show tonight in Houston, unfortunately. And I cannot make it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because today's also the day S-Corp and partnership taxes were due. And so I wasn't sure how late, if I even have to cancel these episodes. So, unfortunately, just could not.
All I hear is blah, blah, blah. I have a real job. That's all I hear.
My real job, right? I have two important dates, September 15th and October 15th.
Yeah. Listen, guys, if you want us to quit our jobs and be on here full time, send us some monies.
Please. No podcast. Accounting can cost money.
Yes, exactly, man. All right. So for me, when I first saw the show, I feel like a lot of people were making comparisons to the show Rami, right? Because the writers are similar, both Palestinian.
Rami's Egyptian.
Oh, but he's Palestinian too, though, right?
He's Egyptian.
In the show, he's Palestinian Egyptian. And I think his sister is too.
Let's look it up.
Let's confirm. Let's fact check that. Yeah.
I feel like he is.
I have a lot of issues with Rami's show, but I feel like maybe that's a different episode.
No, I don't know. That's this episode. We're gonna get into it. We'll see. Because Rami
is Egyptian.
I know he's Egyptian, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's no. Too.
No.
No.
Okay. Well, his sister is definitely, the actress who plays his sister is definitely Palestinian. I know that.
Yeah, I haven't seen Rami.
She's Palestinian, but. Oh, you haven't? Oh, I mean, you're not missing out. Let me just say that.
So
throw some shade.
So Rami is a very interesting show. And I'm curious to see how you compare it to this show, because I'm not going to lie. It's funny. It's funny. It's got some heart, but lots of it feel very damaging. for lack of a better word. What are your thoughts, Dita?
Yeah, damaging, but also I feel like he was trying really hard to make himself a very interesting character. And I feel like he was barely giving any of the female leads their own space to really grow and thrive. Yeah. Whereas, no, I don't want to spoil Mo's show at all, but I would look at those two and compare them. And then I just felt like it was more Western than it was really speaking to an immigrant audience. Mm. You know, whereas Mo's show, I felt like it was a love letter to his community. And Rami was just like, hey, we all have problems. And it's all, we've all got the same issues. And it's not that. I feel like he didn't do really well in highlighting that. And it's just, it was icky, to say the least.
It's interesting. You're not the first person to say that. Like, I've heard a lot of my Arab friends say the same thing. And so, you know, I'm going to defer to y'all. I'm not the expert on this, but
I am not the expert. I mean, I've heard mixed reactions. I've heard a few people say that Mo also kind of does like makes some things for the white audience a little bit, but not to the level that like Rami does. Rami is like, hey, white people, look at us. This is what it is, right? There are some things that people say Mo does too, but I think Mo is just like a better story, and it's got more like realness to it, right? Rami is like shock value almost, like just being crazy for the sake of being crazy. And you know, part of me is it's like, I can understand, because here's the thing, right? White people have been making TV shows forever, right? Forever. So all those wholesome sitcoms that took place in the 90s, we don't have the opportunity to make those because that's been done to death, right? We have to come up with something fresh just to be greenlit, just to be seen. Rami is that fresh perspective, that fresh show that other people have never seen before. But at what cost, right? That's the question. Mm-hmm. At what cost? Dina, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I feel like with Rami specifically, you know, it was, look, he started out strong. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give him credit for that in the first season. He did start out strong. And then like towards the end of the first season, I was like, this is a bit strange, you know, because when you're thinking about it and you're thinking about how there's such a lack of representation of people from our community on these mainstream platforms, you're looking for them to kind of highlight and spotlight the experiences that you had so that you can relate to it. But if you can't relate to it and it's somebody from your community telling the story, it's just like, what are you even doing? It feels like you're just kind of just trying to blend in, trying to conform to a standard in order for everybody to be an audience member, in order to relate to everyone. But it's like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a show that I can personally relate to. And I feel like, yeah, there are some parts with Mo where he does that, but I feel the bulk of it, the storyline itself was so beautifully done. Yeah. And then he just felt like you as a person from that community can actually relate and be like, oh yeah, this is literally how it is. This is literally our lives.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really touches me about Mo is that there is this sense of like danger that isn't there with Rami, right? So it grounds the story, makes us feel for the character, puts this like, fear in us when we are watching it, right? Because he is an undocumented immigrant. And when you see something like, you know, him being, oh, we can't talk about it. We'll talk about it when we
spoil. Spoilers, yeah.
I know. Let's add, in 10 more minutes, we'll spoil. But like, there are a lot of things where you see this person is in danger and something bad could really happen to him. Where like Rami, he just puts himself in these bad situations and he just gets away with it. And like, it's annoying. But let's just talk about the representation. How do you feel about, like, overall in general, how well this show portrayed Palestinian families and their culture and stuff like that?
Oh, amazing. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but there was a scene where I was like, I never thought I would hear this on Netflix or any sort of mainstream platform. Just the fact of how they were talking about the Palestinian struggle. Yeah. I mean, that one line, I'm not going to say what it was until the spoiler time. Mm-hmm. I was just like, whoa.
Go ahead, spoil it. You know what? There. We're 12 minutes in. Fair warning, y'all.
Two more minutes, and we'll start spoiling it.
Oh, fine. Okay.
All right. So the representation overall, fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. I will say one that was already in the trailer was the hummus scene. That was epic. Like chocolate hummus. The things that people are adding to the hummus is sick. I'm like, yo, stop. And I've seen that chocolate hummus nonsense in the stores. And I'm like, hell no.
It pisses me off.
Hummus discourse. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Like, bro, just like eat Nutella. Why do you need to make hummus? Well, who grows chocolate chickpeas? That's not a thing.
Right. And then him carrying around this little tiny jar of olive oil and just eating it with bread. Yeah. I was like, that's my dad. That's literally my dad.
That's awesome. Like,
that's
awesome.
A real thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real thing.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah. I believe it.
I had no idea. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I really like that. And like, I have a lot of Palestinian friends because like I'm in New York, right? So like I go to these events, I meet people all the time. So even me just being like by osmosis and just being adjacent to the culture is like, oh, I see this. I know this. It's like really exciting. So I really enjoy it. And then there's obviously the Muslim aspect of it, right? Which is something that we all can relate, right? There are prayers being said on the show on Netflix. Like Netflix, they do not have a good track record with Muslims.
No, they don't.
They're horrible.
If I was to rate every single streaming service, Netflix would be like at the bottom of some of the stuff. They've had people like almost every Muslim woman takes off her hijab to for a white man.
Oh my god, liberated.
Right?
Freedom.
Right?
And, oh my god.
Right? And then they What's the other thing? Oh, they had this one girl open her fast with a shot of alcohol.
I did not hear about that. What?
Oh, yeah, that was wild. There was a show, and the girl is like, I forget, but like the show is an Australian, and she's like, Bismillah, takes a shot, opens her fast.
Oh my God. What nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember the controversy. I cannot remember what show this was.
It's called Why Are You Like This? I think that's the name of the show. And it's an Australian show.
That's
but Netflix, yeah, they don't got a good track record. So to see this show on Netflix and see some of the really, really, you know, heartfelt stuff that happened and what real Palestinians have to deal with, I didn't know that, like, you know, there might be people that I know that are Palestinian that are actually undocumented. That never even occurred to me until I watched this episode. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how long of a process it is to get asylum. I thought it's wild. So what are your thoughts about that? That perception of showing the undocumented side.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. I'm not even sure if we're in the spoiler section yet.
We can be. But we're 16 minutes in. Spoilers from here on out.
All right, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be, this is the spoiler section of the show. So if you have not watched the episode yet, you can pause it right here and then come back. But for the rest of you guys, we're going to get into the actual show and start recapping it. So yeah, let's get into it.
I saw the live viewers go down by two the moment we said that.
Oh no, come back.
Oops, sorry y'all.
That means we're doing our job correctly, so well done.
All right, fine.
All right, I have to say, when it comes to like seeking asylum and what it takes, specifically about the lawyer that he had that really was not doing the best of job and following up on his case.
Yeah.
You know, you do look for someone from your community who speaks the same language as you, who understands you, to help you with the process.
Yeah.
And I saw how it's like, you know, she was a friend, so it was hard to really get her to really do anything.
Yeah.
And then hiring the outside person to help you get everything done. I was like, okay, that makes more sense because you want somebody who really gets the system. And sometimes it's got to be a Polish lady because she would get the system.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the last episode where he's kind of stranded in Mexico, I feel like that's really going to speak to, I mean, I'm hoping that's what it is because I wasn't too in love with how it ended. I felt like it was a bit too much, but I'm thinking maybe he's going to take this in a direction where he talks about a lot of the undocumented immigrants on the border who are just in limbo and talk about like the fact that this is still happening even right now and how hard it is for them to even get anyone to look in their direction.
Yeah, it's wild. And I like the fact that, you know, it's not just Palestinian culture, but he also has his like, Mexican girlfriend and there is a similarity. And, you know, it's like this is a story that really resonates with Houston because I'm sure the Palestinian community and the Mexican community are pretty close over there because they probably share this shared struggle that they have to go through.
I literally have friends who are half Mexican, half Palestinian.
Yeah, same.
It's a thing.
Oh, man.
We're very similar. We're very similar to each other.
What are they called? Pexicans? Or like, I don't know. They should have like a name. I don't know. That's
Texicans. Put the Tex in there too while we're at it.
but let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit because they had this amazing line where he talked about how like Arabs were in Spain for so many years and how similar the cultures are.
And all that,
tortillas and maize pantalones and all this stuff. And I thought that was really cool. It was cool to see the similarities in the culture. And I'm pretty sure that like for a lot of people, it didn't click until they saw that. And they're like, oh man, we do have a lot in common with this culture. I thought that was really cool.
And we also kind of look alike. A lot of people, like whenever you see a Latina or a Latino, you're like, wait, are you Palestinian? Like, what are you? Yeah. And then you're kind of looking at each other. You're like, wait, what are you?
I've seen that meme. There's like you see an Arab and you see a Latino. And the first thing to do is like they take out their necklace to see if it's an Arabic or if it's a cross. And that's how you know.
That's so real. So
real.
They just stare at each other and they bring out their necklace. And you see like, oh, is it Arabic?
That's a real thing. Like, that does happen. I'm like,
oh man, that's funny. I love that. It's really, really funny. So let's talk a little bit about I want to talk about his family and how they are together, because for me, let's say like take all like the Muslim stuff out of the show, take everything else, but like the family dynamic, I don't think you have to be Palestinian. I don't think you have to be Mexican. I don't think you have to be Muslim to get that, because they pull that off so well. His brother is probably my standout favorite person in the entire show. So talk a little bit about the family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. His brother, you just instantly feel like an emotional connection to him and his struggle. You know, specifically the scene where, you know, a Muslim woman came in to chicken cone chicken, whatever it was, which I didn't even know was an actual place.
It's an actual place?
Yeah, wow. It's an actual place, which is cool.
Free publicity for them.
It's a
good place, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh my God, like, you know, I relate to her. And she was asking about halal, and, you know, he got so excited and ran out to go get it. I mean, that really hit so hard. And then seeing how his siblings got together and both came to his aid to help him, that was just so beautiful. It really spoke to the family values that, unfortunately, in present day society, I feel like it's hard to really like find it, you know, trying to emulate that in this society is not easy. I feel like culturally, most of us have that because that's just the ideology that we grew up with. But when you think of mainstream Western idea of what a family dynamic looks like, it's not always like that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't reflect that. And I loved how he was so connected to his brother. You know,
even they dropped everything from that baseball game, like, let's go right now. Like, let's just go. And then, you know, when that manager was like, oh, it's all his fault, they're like, shut the fuck up. We'll deal with you later.
That's what I really like about Mo's character. Like, he is a very flawed character. He's drinking, he's doing all this stuff, but he has so much patience for his brother, right? He has patience for his family. Like, he screws up and then he goes, no, you're right, how can I help, right? I love that, like, way he can switch gears and stuff like that. It's a really interesting dynamic character. And I like that you brought up the baseball game, because that was probably the funniest scene.
So good.
He was like, your name means Osama, you're a lion, you need to, like, you know, like make them pay, and like, you're Palestinian, you should be able to throw, aim and throw things really carefully. I was like, that's so funny.
God damn, okay.
And then when he hit him, he turned out to be Jewish. And his mom goes, why, Osama, why? Fantastic.
That was outstanding writing right there.
That was excellent. That was really good.
Oh, man. That was definitely the highlight. But yeah, his family is definitely really good. And then when they go see his father and they see the prayer and his sister reads it.
That was like perfect. It was beautiful. Authentic.
Yeah.
Like, the Arabic there was like, mm-hmm. I was really surprised to see it on Netflix, quite frankly. Yeah. I didn't think they would actually do it like that on Netflix, but they did. And it was great.
Yeah. He even got down to like what you say when you go into a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, what? That's incredible. Like, he really just kept it so real.
Yeah. No, I really, really enjoyed that. I felt that was really refreshing to see. But back to the undocumented stuff, right? And we kind of talked about that. I thought it was interesting that his sister kind of just like left and kind of did her own thing and kind of left them hanging. And I thought that was really weird. And I don't know if that's just for a story or is that something that like happens? Like,
common.
You think that's common, Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
I know families just like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting because I was like,
Look, Houston is the most diversity in America, but there's also a diversity of way people behave. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then people also emulate that. So I've seen this happen before.
Interesting.
It's a thing.
Okay.
And it's not just once. Like, I've seen it happen a couple times. So it's a thing.
Interesting. I don't know. For me, it's hard to believe that someone would just leave their family kind of hanging like that. It's kind of interesting. But it does make for a good story. And I thought it made their relationship more dynamic. What do you think, Dina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping that we get more of that story in the second season.
Yeah.
Because I really want to also understand her perspective. Not because I agree with how she handled it, if that is truly how she did it, where she like truly abandoned her family. But I'm just curious, what exactly happened? Like, how did she meet him, you know, her husband? What led up to everything that kind of happened? Mm-hmm. I'm just very curious about her storyline. And because she made it seem like she's like, I'm always here for y'all. Like, you know, if you need me, I'm around. But then it's like there was something missing. It's like, who abandoned whom, right? Like, was it her family that was like, no, you married somebody outside of our culture, outside of our religion, so we're going to push away from, like, we're going to pull back away from you? Or was it her?
That's true. That's very possible. And I one of the other things that I thought was interesting that you just brought up, that, like, you know, she married outside her culture, but like homie did the same thing. Like, is that a thing? Because I know in our culture,
oh, for sure,
tons of double standards. So I'm sure that's
for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that whole dynamic between, you know, his partner and his mom was really interesting to see, because it's something I've definitely been exposed to. I'm sure maybe y'all have too, maybe not, but I've seen it and I'm like, yeah, they're kind of hard on the partner that's not from their culture, because they just feel like, I can't relate to you, I can't talk to you, I don't even know why you're with my son. And they think about the future of their grandkids. They're like, oh my God, what are they going to grow up speaking? You know, how well are they going to understand our culture? And with, when you add on the complexity of the Palestinian struggle, you're like, we have to pass that on to our kids, to our grandkids. Yeah. So it's like, does that get lost because my son is not with a Palestinian?
Oh.
So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of things at play with how the mother must be feeling. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I loved her line where like we carry on and that's what we do. And then, you know, you want your lineage to survive, especially when they survive ethnic cleansing or genocide and whatnot, right? It's really tough to see that. So I can see, you know, you can kind of see from the mom's side and you can see from his side too, because, you know, also he just loves her and whatever. It's very complex. But I do like how his mom was kind of like a few microaggressions here and there. Like, here, wear this sleeve so your tattoo doesn't show.
Yeah. Cover it with this chunky bracelet that I'm giving you.
The mom is a great actress too, man. I think she did a great job. Everyone acting is phenomenal. And I think the brother actually is on the spectrum. So he's not even he actually is.
For sure. Yeah.
Which the acting is phenomenal. Like, it's crazy how good he does that.
That's really
amazing. Really loved it. Also, one of the other things is like we brought up like the Palestinian struggle and also the Mexican struggle, the being undocumented. I do feel like this is a great show to make allies out of people who share a common experience. What do you think?
100%. Even when you look at, like, you know, definitely when you think of the Mexican struggle, 100%, there's so many parallels there in just the treatment that you experience, right? How you feel, you're made to feel like a second-class citizen. You know, people get harassed. We see it on social media where they get harassed for speaking Spanish in public.
Yeah.
Where people tell them, stop speaking that language, you're in America, right? But also, like, the fact that he had Toby Nwigwe in there, like, the representation from the Nigerian community was incredible.
Yeah.
And it speaks also to the struggle of, like, Black Americans.
Yeah.
And the Black Lives Matter movement, because there are so many parallels. You know, when the Black Lives Matter movement first happened, you had people all the way in Palestine and in Gaza showing support to Black Americans in the U.S. and saying, we stand with you, because we understand that level of discrimination just based on your skin color or the fact that you don't look the same or you don't look Western. And I mean, just seeing all of the representation that he tied into a nice little bow into the show was really, really powerful.
Yeah, I really do love that. And I feel like that's my favorite part, right? Mm-hmm. And if we can get, like, you know, more Latinos to understand the struggles by seeing the show, that's an absolute win. That's an absolute win, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Building bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I loved seeing that, you know, play out between all of that, you know, and I feel like it's coming even stronger in the second season with how he ended this first season.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, him being in Mexico is not an accident. Yep. Like, yes, it's over the top, but he has a point with this and you can kind of see where it's going. So yeah. I'm very excited for season 2 with this.
Yeah. And yeah. he kind of teased it a little bit, right? When he was mm-hmm. going to meet that guy that's going to help him cross the border and go through that tunnel.
Yeah.
When he saw the family and the kids. I mean, I'm sure that kind of took him back to him and his life as a refugee and as a kid and displaced. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in the way he was trying to talk to this kid and the parallels that he was drawing. I mean, that was such an emotional and moving moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very true.
For sure.
And I love how they started off that relationship with so much humor. Like, if you watch the first episode, he's talking about, like, how he he's like, you don't gotta wear the hijab. You could be, like, a diet Muslim. Like, get the basic package before you start. And then he was like, Mary had the nuns have a veil. That's the OG hijab.
That was so good.
I thought that line was really, really funny. And it was a good way to ease everybody into this relationship and how fun it is. And I feel like a lot of multicultural families are like that. Like, these are real conversations and jokes that people have in their houses when they're talking about their cultures and stuff.
For sure. 100%.
I have, you know, when we're talking about culture, one of the things that really got me so excited that I saw that I had never seen anywhere on Netflix was the scene of the zephe, where mm-hmm. they do this like whole percussion whenever you are about to like start your wedding, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the way the bride and groom enter, is to have the drums and people dancing. And seeing that, I was just like so excited. I wanted to jump out of my seat and I was like turning it up and I was like dancing along.
Dancing, yep.
And I was like, yes, the zephe is playing out on Netflix. That's amazing. I was obsessed with that scene.
That's funny.
Moments like that is what makes this whole thing worth it. Like, I'm so glad you got that.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm like when I watch this show, I'm just like, and I see like Palestinians talking about it, I'm like, I love this for y'all. Like, this is awesome. Like, you guys deserve this. And it's really, really important in this day and age. And I'm glad that Mo and Rami's a writer on the show too, apparently. Mm-hmm. So Mo and Rami, I feel like they did a good job making this a fun show, a comedy, but also grounded in something serious, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, going back to Rami, he's just being like an F-boy, whereas like this show, this substance here, right? Mm-hmm. And also Mo can act. Like, he is not a bad actor. Oh,
yeah. Right? Did y'all catch his little Texan accent at the beginning when he's talking to that old white gentleman telling
him to make shoes? Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, we've all done that.
All right, but let's talk about the scene where they're in the car, there's drugs in the car, and the police are right there. And then he sees this dog. This dog has a passport, and he doesn't. And you see, like, the tension, the fear, but also just, like, the disgust that, like, a dog has a passport, and I am a human being, and I can't get one. Wild, right? Like, what do you think of that?
Man, I am so glad you brought that up, because that was such, like, a powerful thing for him to note, because I feel like we all kind of subconsciously we see how animals are treated better than humans.
Yes,
like, that's the reality. Mm-hmm. And he put it in everyone's face, saying, I'm here, I'm trying to just be a normal person, live, make a living, and just like get a passport and exist. And then there's this dog that has it.
Yeah,
I mean, it really tied into the fact that you see it every day. You see this kind of mistreatment of people. And that's why, you know, some people are like, you know, animals are better than humans, because humans literally treat each other like dirt. And we do that, unfortunately.
I've seen a meme where they say that minorities are treated better than a golden retriever in a middle-class white family. Yeah. Like, that's so sad.
That is so accurate, though. Like, that's the sad part. Because, like, when you think about it, it's like, people are more concerned and will pull over if there's like a limping dog than they would to help another person.
Yeah.
And that's the society that we live in. And that's the system. It's set up that way, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. In North America, that's how it's set up.
That's crazy. So let's talk about season 2. What would you like to see in season 2?
Ooh, man, so much. Well, for one, I want him to talk more about the Nigerian community, just because he had Toby on there, and Toby is also from Alief, that neighborhood.
And massive community.
Massive
here.
Nigerian mm-hmm. community in Alief and in Houston, mm-hmm. like one of the largest in the US. And I feel mm-hmm. like we should definitely tackle that. And I would like to see more about that community. And then I really want to learn more about his mom. You know, she was such an incredible and key figure in the show. The way that she just captures the emotion of what a lot of Palestinians, at least our parents, felt when they were escaping genocide and they were escaping ethnic cleansing. And it was so emotional. And I hope that we get to hear more about her and how their family left, and more about that story. You know, mm-hmm. they teased it a lot with the bus scene. I don't know if y'all saw. And it was a mosque in Houston. Maryam Masjid. When I saw that, I was like, wait.
Rewind too. I was like, wait a second, I've been there.
Yeah.
What, you mean they didn't fly to Palestine to film this?
Unfortunately, no, they did not.
No. But I thought it was such an incredible and emotional whole storyline. So I really want to see more of that. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to see where he goes with like Mexican immigration and undocumented immigrants and their struggle, especially because he ended it being on the other side of the border.
Yeah. Jazz, what about you? What do you want to see for season two?
I think so. I do want to see some flashbacks of his dad as well. I know it's supposed to be a comedy, but it's also a real show, right?
Mm-hmm.
People need to see what he went through.
Oh.
And I hope we can use that as
the torture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to use that as a catalyst to start bringing some change.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's still happening. And in fact, I am afraid, because I know I mentioned this earlier when we first talked about the Marvel thing, that it may happen again this year. And so I am very afraid of that. I think that propaganda is being played here right now, and we need a countering force for it, because that's really how the world works. It's who can get the story across first and be more convincing of it. Mm-hmm. So I want to see more of his dad, because I think that can be very powerful for what may happen.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I appreciate it. Damn, you guys took all the good answers. I don't know what I got now.
His brother. Well, don't you want to see more about his brother?
I do. Yeah. Although I it wouldn't hurt to see some more South Asians in this and our relationship, because I think a pattern of this, and like, I don't know if it's a coincidence, but in Rami, the only South Asian woman we see ends up having an affair with Rami during Ramadan. Yeah. And then the only South Asian woman we see in this show also ends up married to a white guy, and is kind of a horrible person. So I would like to see a nice South Asian person. Maybe somebody nice.
Maybe.
Yeah,
go to Farouk Masjid. That'll be great.
Right?
Yeah. So that would be cool. Love to see a little bit of that. But overall, man, this show really warms my heart. It really makes me cry. I cried.
Oh yeah, same.
I cried.
I definitely cried some scenes. But listen, man, if we can't show empathy towards movies and TV shows that make people think, then what's the point, right? What's the point of it if we can't change hearts and minds? So that's why I really like the show. Any last thoughts before we go, Dina?
Ooh, last thoughts. I felt like this was such an incredible show. You know, I may not have loved every single thing about it. Like, there's some things I may have been like nitpicky about. But
well, listen. I feel like we are allowed to also have flaws. Like, why can't people of color have flaws? White people have shows, and their shows have tons of flaws. We're allowed to have flaws too. It could still be a great show, even though it has flaws.
You're right. And that was my issue with like the last episode, where I was like, whoa, wait, what's going on? This is so out of like, it's like all over the place and random and like so over dramatic, you know, especially the scene of the cave where people were just like running out and shooting at each other. I was like, what? Was that really necessary? You know, it's a bit much.
Yeah, my boy Omar saying the same thing. Like, the ending threw him for a loop, but everyone enjoyed it overall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, I don't want to judge too much, because I'm like, all right, you better go to a positive place with this and take it someplace real strong, since you ended super weird.
But
I think overall, I'm just so proud of him. And I'm just so proud of the fact that we all have this that exists now. You know, he broke a major barrier by getting this out there, you know, and being the first Palestinian to have a main a show like this on a mainstream platform. It's, I mean, it's amazing. You don't see this. You don't see it often.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's good to see some of that stuff out there. Some of these lines that he has about Palestine and saying something like, you know, he doesn't even have a passport. He's a free agent. And it's like, you know, it's like, wow, like this is a great way to put things. There's so many things that he puts in perspective with humor that I think he does such a good job. I hope it gets people thinking. The goal here is has always been to humanize Muslim voices, humanize Palestinians. You know, I, you know, me and Jazz, we always talk about it. We're a free Palestine until we die. So
always.
So, but thank you for coming on our show. We really, really appreciate having you.
Was awesome. The line, Dina, what was that line? Like you didn't want to spoil earlier, but you never thought it'd be on TV.
Oh, his mom, where she was talking about, it was in the lawyer's office, and she was talking about the torture and everything that they went through. And she just kept, and that the lawyer even was like, oh my God, say it just like that. Like, you don't even have to rehearse or talk about anything.
Yeah.
And she was talking about like, not only were we thrown out of our own country, but we were tortured in another, and then we're now tortured again here.
Yeah.
All in the struggle of trying to find some sort of peace and some place to call home.
Yep. That line.
Love it.
Had to end it with that.
We can't top that. Dina, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell people where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, Dina Kespa. I'm also on Twitter if you want to follow me. And then also, you know, hit up our podcast, CityCast Houston, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And guys, watch the show. Check it out. Tell us what you think. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
It's cute.